certainly rebel spies. Sienna nodded, hiding her consternation. It made no sense for him to give her this intel and conceal it from Nash and the other TIE pilots. We'll take care of it, sir. Piet held up one warning finger. One of the rebels must escape. You're to see to it that at least one of the pilots manages to make it to hyperspace. Beyond that, it's irrelevant whether the rest live or die. She was confused for a moment, but then she understood. Senior Fleet Command wanted the Rebel Alliance to know that a large portion of the Imperial Starfleet was assembling. Why, Sienna couldn't yet guess. It didn't matter. She had been entrusted with a difficult and demanding task, and a secret one. That meant her superiors didn't doubt her. If anything, they held her in higher esteem than ever. All she had to do was deny her mother's innocence. Sienna tried to cast that thought from her head. Consider it handled, Admiral Piet. He nodded, dismissing her, and she headed to her ship. Climbing into the pilot's seat came as a relief. She didn't have to think about her mother any longer. She wouldn't be haunted by her growling doubts about the Empire. Sensors needed to be checked, the hatch sealed, weapons readied. Soon she could fly and forget all her troubles in doing what she did best. Nash's voice came over the comm.
Prepared for takeoff, LP-888?
Sienna lowered the black helmet over her head. Now she had no face, no identity. Now nothing remained of her but her duty to the Empire. Ready. Among the many problems with flying on minimum power, heat inside the cabin dropped severely, not enough to endanger anyone's life, but enough to be extremely uncomfortable. Thane's breath had begun to make small frost crystals on the edge of his helmet's visor. As if he could read Thane's mind, Smike said over comms,
"We should have worn winter uniforms for this trip." "Affirmative, Corona 3,"
Yendor replied.
"I could do with my old Hoth parka right around now,"
the Contessa added.
"And I miss my fur coats, but hold steady. In about an hour, we'll orbit far enough from the Imperial convoy to slip out of here."
"Holding steady, Corona leader," Thane said.
He had not yet shared his theory about the Emperor with the rest of Corona Squadron. If true, it was information too sensitive for any open comm channel. And after only a few minutes' consideration, he felt positive his hunch was right. Yet knowing that these ships had been massed to form a convoy for the Emperor raised another host of questions. It had been many years since Palpatine was last seen off Coruscant. What would draw him away from the seat of galactic power? And where was he going? And if this many ships had massed in one place, that meant elsewhere in the galaxy the Imperial fleet might be stretched thin. Widely dispersed, at any rate. Thane's adrenaline spiked as he realized the Empire's useless show of strength here might have created weaknesses elsewhere. Weaknesses the Rebellion could turn to its advantage. His sensors began to flash, and he swore,
"We've got TIE fighters incoming! I count four!"
"Any chance it's a random patrol?"
Kendi asked. "Possible, but not probable. The TIE fighters came closer every second." Thane said,
"I've got a bad feeling about this!"
"Do you see what I see?"
Nash sounded delighted, as if they were headed toward a party instead of into combat. Sienna bit her lower lip as she studied her readings.
"I read five ships, probably starfighters. So far I can't ID ship models, but I guess we're looking at X-wings or Y-wings."
While a handful of those starfighters remained in civilian hands, by now X-wings and Y-wings were used almost solely by the Rebel Alliance. Piet's intel had been correct. The TIE Patrol would move into attack mode at any moment. Out of five ships, she needed at least one survivor. That would most easily be accomplished by having five survivors and avoiding combat altogether. Nash and the other pilots were too smart to mistake what they were seeing for something else, which meant if she wanted to avoid a dogfight, her best bet was to flush out the rebels in time for them to escape. She said,
"If I break up one of the larger asteroids in the planetary ring, we could get better readings."
One of the other pilots objected.
"Then they'll know we're here."
10 to 1 they know it by now. Their sensors are nearly as advanced as ours.
Sienna put her black gloved hands on the controls, feeling the red trigger button under her thumb.
"It's a bad idea," Nash said. We don't need further readings, and at this distance, they'd have time to make the jump into hyperspace before we could engage them.
So much for that plan. Now at least one of the Rebel ships, and possibly four of them, would have been destroyed, all for the sake of some tactical masquerade. They might well lose a TIE fighter in the process. More useless death. More futility. More waste. The TIE fighters were unquestionably zeroing in on their location. Combat seemed certain. The Contessa ordered,
"All wings disengage tethers and return to full power." "Didn't think we could escape from this position, Corona Leader,"
Yendor said, even as sensors showed him complying. "We can't! They're coming in for a fight!" Thane pressed the controls that brought his ship back to full life, the cockpit lighting up in red and gold. "Weapons ready?" Yendor reported in first.
"Corona 2 ready."
"Corona 3 ready,"
Smikes confirmed.
"Corona 4 ready."
Thane kept his eyes on the sensors as he spoke, in case the TIEs accelerated into attack mode. And Kendi finished.
"Corona 5 ready."
Thane braced himself as the Contessa said,
"All we have now is the element of surprise. Let's take the fight to them."
Syena had expected the Rebel starfighters to remain hidden as long as they possibly could in hope of avoiding detection, which was why she was astonished when 5 X-Wings burst out of the planetary ring and headed straight for the TIE fighters.
"Evasive action!"
she shouted, swinging her TIE around to avoid their main weapons range. The Rebels had them outnumbered, no doubt by Piet's design. That imbalance would give one or more of the Rebel ships a good chance to escape. She couldn't stand the unfairness of asking TIE pilots to risk their lives in an attempt to kill people the Empire wanted to keep alive. How could she possibly delay a dogfight on the verge of happening this second? Syena adjusted her comms until she hit broadcast mode, a multi-frequency signal that would supersede all others in the area, projecting her voice into every ship close enough to hear, including those X-Wings.
"Unidentified vessels," she said. "You are not authorized to fly in this sector. Please report your ship's identification codes and the system under which you are licensed, or you will be taken into custody. Resist, and you will be destroyed."
She could imagine Nash's consternation, but she hadn't violated protocol. Instead, she had followed the procedure for unknown vessels, usually small-time smugglers or pleasure cruisers gone astray. If the Rebels had the good sense to lie, the dogfight might be stalled for a minute or two, long enough for them to get away. Except Nash was already bringing his TIE interceptor up and around to cut off their most likely escape route, and her plan was ruined.
"Damn!"
Syena thought, before another voice came over the comms and turned her anger into horror. Thane said,
"This galaxy isn't big enough!"
Maybe Syena was right. Maybe the Force was bringing them together, over and over. If so, Thane decided the Force had a sick sense of humor. He had no idea how Syena would answer, whether she'd stick to official procedure or she'd speak to him as a human, the way he'd spoken to her. When the comm unit crackled, he tensed. But the familiar voice coming through wasn't Syena's.
"Thane Kyrell?"
Nash Windrider's incredulity came through loud and clear.
"You're alive?"
"Hello, old friend." Thane refused to let himself be overwhelmed. Syena was right there, in one of those TIE fighters soaring toward him. And Nash was there, too. And this was the last fight he ever wanted to be in. Kendi had to be beside herself, but unlike the rest of them, she had the good sense to keep her mouth shut. But Syena surely felt the same way. Nash would, too. Maybe this confusion would buy Corona Squadron the time they needed to get away. Thane's viewfinder blurred with movement, and his eyes widened as he realized someone had just accelerated a TIE fighter to top speed.
"I thought you were dead,"
Nash said, each word lower and more ragged.
"You would have been better off that way."
So much for the reunion.
"One of the Rebels gets to live."
Syena seized onto that fact like a tow line that could take her to safety. Saving Thane's life didn't violate her duty. It was her duty. One of the rebels had to make it out of there, and she intended to use everything she had to make sure he was the survivor. But that meant she had to stop Nash without his realizing it. Nash had violated protocol by initiating battle without her order, but no one would reprimand him for targeting rebel ships at any time and any way. Already the other two TIEs had accelerated to swoop in right on his tail. Sienna threw her own TIE into maximum speed and set her course. If I come in from above, it will look like I'm triangulating our weapons. If I choose the right angle, though, I can get in Nash's way and stop his fire. It didn't occur to Sienna to worry about Thane getting blasted before she had a chance to intervene. In a dogfight, superior piloting kept you alive, and nobody could ever outfly him. Nobody besides her. The engine's roar filled the cockpit, even penetrating her thick black helmet. Sienna soared up high enough that the viewfinder showed her the X-wings and the debris of the planetary ring as so much glowing confetti on screen. But as she dived down toward them, the shapes took form again. All the X-wings were now in full evasive action, but one of them moved with more agility, executing a perfect spin that threaded through the outer edge of the ring. She took a deep breath to steady herself. Her job was clear, now that she knew which ship belonged to Thane. But Nash had to know it too. Thane wove his way through the planetary ring, trusting in the asteroids to take a few blasts for him.
Incoming from Vector 8128!
Smike sounded desperate.
Heavy fire!
A green blaster bolt shattered a rock so close to Thane's X-wing that some of the debris sprayed the cockpit. For one instant, he imagined it shattering, exposing him to the fatal vacuum of space. It held.
Everyone move to pre-established hyperdrive coordinates,
the Contessa ordered. Thane added,
forget formations, get there however you can!
Formation flying sometimes provided protection, but in a situation like this, scattering would give them a chance to get at least a couple of people to safety. Green blaster fire surrounded him, and he felt the telltale jolt that meant he'd been hit. Thane held his breath for the seconds it took to see the control panels holding steady. Non-critical damage. The next time, he probably wouldn't be as lucky.
Rebel scum, Nash snarled. I can't believe you'd ever stoop so low.
I can't believe you're still with the Empire, Thane retorted. They destroyed your planet, Nash. They killed your entire family. How can you...
Never speak of Alderaan to me.
By now, Nash's fury had driven his voice halfway to a scream.
Never!
On Thane's viewscreen, he saw the other members of Corona Squadron locked in battle with two of the TIE fighters. But they had the Imperials well outnumbered because two of the TIEs were only coming after Thane. He must have been wrongly identified as the leader. Which one of the green blurs on his screen was Sienna's ship? Would he kill her or see someone else do it in front of his eyes? Or maybe this was the day she would finally choose the Empire over him by taking his life. Then a TIE fighter came down from above, so close Thane saw it through the cockpit as clearly as through his targeting device, flying between him and Nash. The knowledge hit him so hard his chest hurt. Sienna was trying to save him.
Get out of my way!
Nash shouted at Sienna.
I don't take orders from you, Lieutenant.
She fired in the general direction of Thane's ship, but fired to miss. On her screen, she saw one of the TIE fighters vanish. Another pilot lost for no reason. And then the quick blur that indicated at least two of the rebel ships had leaped into hyperspace. Then one of the X-wings vanished as well. The Empire had its first kill of the battle. Thane would be heading directly to the coordinates where the first X-wings had gone into hyperspace. Sienna quickly shifted trajectory again, into a believable angle for attack, but one that yet again would interfere with Nash's targeting. She was between them again, shielding Thane with her own ship. Nash fired away. He didn't hit her, but the bolts came close enough to set off every warning signal. The lights in her cockpit flashed red. Sienna swore. Was Nash angry enough at Thane to kill him, even if he had to go through Sienna first? Thane saw the opportunity Sienna had given him and took it. At full power, he sped toward the coordinates. He saw the last of the other X-Wings shudder into hyperspace just in front of him and prepared for the jump to light speed. He yearned to say something to Sienna before he left. Anything. She needed to know that he realized what she had done for him and what it meant. But saying anything would only expose her to Nash and the other TIE pilot. Sienna had protected him. It was his turn to protect her by remaining silent. Bolts raked his X-Wing, and this time he'd taken damage. But not to life support or hyperdrive, so to hell with it. Thane set coordinates, put his hand on the control, and went for it. The stars elongated into an infinite tunnel as he sped away, leaving Sienna behind. Thane allowed himself a few moments of silence afterward before checking in with Corona Squadron.
Corona 4, reporting in. How are we doing?
Confirmed, Corona 4.
The Contessa answered, her voice heavy.
We lost Smikes.
Smikes, wary, pessimistic, and yet so courageous. Thane realized he had never made it clear how much he admired the man despite his curmudgeonly demeanor. Now he would never have the chance.
Hey,
Yendor said quietly.
That was your Sienna back there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I saw what she did for you, so I get why you went to Jellucan now.
Kendi added.
You were right, Thane. She's still Sienna.
It was the closest thing to an apology Thane would ever get for the way the others had shunned him, and it was more than he deserved. Was Sienna in trouble now? Would they question her? Thane wondered if she would have to face the Empire's interrogators. The thought horrified him. But if anyone was smart enough to come up with an explanation to save herself, it was Sienna. He had to believe in her. Sienna took her TIE fighter in without exchanging one more word with Nash Windrider. No doubt he would be livid. He would report her to Piet immediately. Thankfully, she could say that she'd been acting under orders, and Piet would never know the difference. It occurred to her, however, that Piet might not acknowledge the orders he'd given her. If the mission's objective had to remain completely secret, would she be sacrificed too? Would the Empire execute a loyal officer for her loyalty if it furthered their ends? Once, Sienna would have believed that to be impossible. Not any longer. She removed her helmet, took a deep breath, and unlocked her hatch. Whatever would befall her next, she had no choice but to face it. As she hopped down from the TIE, she saw Nash striding toward her, his eyes blazing with anger. Sienna found herself wishing for a blaster. Instead, she stood her ground as Nash came up to her, looked her in the face, and gathered her in his arms.
"I can't believe he did that to you," Nash said. "Knowing you loved him, to leave you like that, to fake his death, and put you through years of anguish. It's beneath contempt."
Sienna simply hugged Nash back as well as she could manage with both of them still wearing armor. She was grateful for the chance to hide her face against his chest.
"Forgive me for shouting at you. I realize now you must have been so shaken, so heartbroken. Well, it would affect anyone's flying, even yours. You were even more eager to kill Thane than I was."
Nash sighed as he pulled back far enough to look her in the face. The anger she'd seen before had melted into pity.
"I should have let you do the honors. If I'd been thinking straight, I would have." "I just can't believe it," Sienna said, which was both true and safe.
"That lowlife. We never really knew him at all, did we?"
Nash straightened up.
"Right then? We'll have to report in."
This won't go well. It didn't. They were shouted at for some time about their failure to destroy all the rebel ships. Piet acknowledged Sienna's secret success with only a nod at the end, when nobody else was looking. Afterward, Sienna stripped off her armor, took a quick shower, and tried to calm her thoughts.
Thane could have died today. Nash would have killed him.
Shaken as she was to have encountered Thane in combat, Sienna was comforted by the knowledge that he'd gotten away safely. If they never met again, his last memory of her would be the moment she'd saved his life. As she stood there beneath the warm water, hands braced against the metal-tiled walls, she decided she could bear that. But Nash? How could he have been so homicidally furious at Thane? She understood the sense of betrayal. She had felt it too the day she'd realized Thane had joined the Rebel Alliance. Even when she had almost hated him, though, she had still loved him too. Whereas Nash had mourned his friend for years, discovered he was alive, and instantly been ready to kill him. That wasn't loyalty to the Empire. That was fanaticism. The engines shifted again, changing the slight vibration beneath her feet. They'd just come out of hyperspace. Sienna was chagrined to realize she'd been so caught up in her own thoughts that she hadn't even noticed when they went to hyperspace in the first place. She toweled off and tugged on her off-shift jumpsuit so she could get a look at what was going on. A row of triangular windows lined the wall closest to the head, so Sienna could simply look outside for herself. No other ships had made the journey with them, it seemed. Why would they ever leave the Imperial convoy? To make something ready for the Emperor's arrival. That was the obvious answer. But what? Sienna turned her head, studying the entire starfield, and saw that they were drawing near a planet, one orbited by a large moon so green and cloudy that she assumed it was rich with forest life. And yet something seemed to be orbiting that moon. Something vast and dark. Then she realized what she was looking at and gasped. It can't be. They would never do that again. But they had. Sienna couldn't deny what she saw. A second Death Star. Chapter 24. Sienna's hands had gone numb, but she still stood there, palms against the window, staring at the new Death Star. Why would they ever build another one? It was only to stop the war before it began, and it failed, so why? She knew the answer, but could not yet accept it. Instead, she stared at the massive hulk of the space station, which only seemed to grow larger as the Executor drew close. Sienna had often wondered how such a gargantuan structure could be built in the first place. Even the enormous resources of the Empire had to be strained by the construction of something the size of a large moon. Now she could see the process for herself, because this Death Star had not yet been completed. Great sections remained unfinished, and she could stare into the guts of the thing, an ugly crosshatch of beams and struts surrounding deep, hollow darkness. Her own words in a Valencia cantina echoed in her memory, taunting her. The Emperor and the Moffs have to see now that destroying Alderaan did no good. It didn't stop the rebellion. The only reason to attack Alderaan was to prevent an even more devastating war. The war has begun anyway. It's too late to save the galaxy from that. No other reason could ever justify the destruction of an entire planet or the deaths of billions of people. Only by restoring galactic peace could the Empire redeem those deaths. But now more worlds would be destroyed for no reason except to cause pain and fear. Maybe they're doing this to finally end the war, Sienna thought. But the excuse was too feeble for her to believe even for an instant. If the rebellion hadn't been cowed by the destruction of Alderaan, then the deaths of other planets wouldn't stop it either. Instead, this would incite more people to join the rebel cause. This wouldn't end the war. It would intensify it beyond all imagining. Whenever Sienna had a nightmare about Alderaan, she scoured away her doubts by remembering Jude. Her friend's loss had always helped Sienna balance the scales in her mind, to recall that massive death and destruction had been caused by both sides in the conflict. Today, however, she could only think that if Jude had seen the second Death Star, she would have recoiled from it. She would never have wanted this done in her name. Never. The cold had leached through to Sienna's bones. Finally, she pulled her aching hands back from the window, rubbing them in hopes of restoring blood flow. But no matter how hard she tried, she couldn't get them warm again. Once her shuttle from the Executor had docked on the Death Star, Sienna could see for herself how much had in fact been completed. From the outside, the enormous, unfinished hemisphere dominated the view. Inside, however, they were anchored by a wholly functioning tractor beam, disembarked onto a deck that was not only finished but polished, and walked into the space station as advanced as any other Imperial Starfleet. They had prepared well for the Emperor's arrival. So we're finally senior enough to get to see the Emperor himself. Baris covered her mouth with her fingers, trying and failing to conceal a smile. I don't know what I'm so excited about. We'll be crowded in with another few thousand officers. Probably we'll have a worse view than the back row at a pod racing arena. Nash had, as usual, fallen in step beside them. Ever since the dogfight in the Hudala system, he had been more attentive to Sienna than ever. Still, we'll be able to tell our grandchildren about the day we saw Palpatine for ourselves. And a big ceremony. Well, it makes a welcome change, doesn't it? Just what you needed, Sienna. Something to cheer you up. She'd been hearing variations on that ever since Hudala. The irony was that she did have a broken heart, just not for the reasons he believed. Yet that minor irritation hardly mattered next to Sienna's consternation. How can they talk about the ceremony for the Emperor? How does any of that matter compared with the fact we're standing inside a Death Star? Then she checked herself. Yes, they were standing inside a Death Star, surrounded by hundreds of other officers. Some stationed there, others from the advance vessels sent to ready an appropriate ceremony for the Emperor's arrival. Surely some of them shared her doubts, but others would not. Publicly voicing her opposition would send her straight to the brig. She could learn from her friend's self-control. So Sienna remained quiet until the three of them miraculously wound up alone in a lift. Her command track training had taught her that listening devices were rarely put in military lifts due to frequency changes, so talking there was likely safe. As soon as the door slid shut, she said, "I can't believe they built another Death Star." Baris shrugged as she leaned against the wall, no longer military proper. "I can't believe they did it this soon. How long does it take to construct one of these? They must have started right after the Battle of Yavin. Good for them." Sienna refused to believe she'd heard that right. "Good for them?" "Well, we had to rebuild the Death Star. I mean, come on." Baris's frown revealed how confused she was by Sienna's reaction. "The single biggest and most powerful station ever constructed in galactic history, and it gets blown up by rebel scum? Recreating the Death Star is the only way we could ever honor our people who died at Yavin. If we hadn't rebuilt it, then the terrorists would have won." "You don't seem to agree, Sienna." Nash's tone was light, but she could see how intently he was looking at her. "What do you think?" She realized she'd begun to sweat. I think that if we've built a Death Star, we plan to use it. That another world will die, just like Alderaan did." Baris scoffed. "No way! Once the station's complete and word gets out, nobody will ever defy the Emperor like that again. The rebellion's going to melt away. Wait and see." Even amidst Sienna's most painful doubts about Imperial tactics, she had believed that rule of law was always better than chaos, even when that law was harsh. But the future Baris described was not rule of law. It was rule by fear, and therefore tyranny. Even the darkest atrocities of the Clone Wars did not compare with the destruction of an inhabited world. And what did it mean that Sienna was afraid to say that out loud, even to her closest friends? She tried to find the right words to make them understand. "When Alderaan was destroyed, we thought it would force the rebellion to surrender. That we could prevent this war. But we've been at war for 3 years anyway. And if someone as cynical as Thane can find rebel leaders to follow and admire, the Rebel Alliance won't vanish as easily as you think. Don't you see?" Those tactics didn't work. If this station isn't used to protect the Empire's citizens from war, then how can we justify it? Nash stood up straighter, his eyes narrowing. When he answered her, his voice gave her chills. "Are you saying that Alderaan was destroyed in vain? For nothing?" Sienna held up her hands. "Nash, please, I don't mean to..." "Listen to me," he said. "Alderaan had to die for the Empire's true power to be acknowledged. My homeworld's end was also the end of the Imperial Senate, the end of the countless petty power struggles that had plagued Palpatine's early reign. Only then was the Empire's true strength revealed." His gaze had become glazed, almost unfocused, like that of someone suffering from a fever. This was what his face must have looked like during the Hudala dogfight. Nash continued. This war is only the aftermath of the conflicts that have racked the galaxy during the past century, the final useless gasp of those who would oppose us. Through sheer stupid luck, the rebels managed to destroy the first Death Star. By rebuilding the Death Star and using it as many times as necessary to restore order, we prove that their luck only goes so far. We prove that we are the only galactic authority, and always will be. The lift door slid open to the deck of the smaller docking bay that would soon welcome the Emperor. Countless officers filled the corridors, a crush that precluded any hope of speaking freely. Saina felt vulnerable. Any of these people could and would expose her as a traitor, even her two best friends. Then Nash's hands closed gently around her shoulders. "You're still not yourself," he said. "After learning how Thane lied to you, of course you're second-guessing who you can trust. Maybe even what's real. That dogfight was one of the worst moments of my life," she said. At least she could say that with total honesty. "Trust in your service. Trust in us. Above all, trust in the oath you took when we graduated from the Academy. Your integrity defines you, Sienna. You won't go wrong if you only stay true." Nash smiled down at her, in the way that usually made her think up an excuse to leave the room. The same crush she'd tried so hard to discourage had become her best shield against a charge of treason. Baris, meanwhile, had already moved on.
"What are we waiting for? The Emperor's shuttle will be here soon. Let's get it together!"
During the next couple of hours of instructions and formations, Sienna stood separately from her friends. Commanders had a marginally better position, though hundreds of captains, admirals, and top gunners still stood in front of her. Numbly, she did whatever was asked of her, shifting position as the organizers thought better of it. At least it was something to do. She tried to occupy her mind by observing the power play among the various members of the top brass, but even that didn't help. Seeing how petty their concerns were, and how often they betrayed fear of Lord Vader's anger, only reminded Sienna that the Imperial Starfleet she served was not the one she'd believed in all this time. Finally, the hour came. Lord Vader strode out, black cape billowing behind him. From a distance, the white shuttlecraft looked like a star. As it came closer, Sienna could see the distinctive gray stripe on its nose, the marking that informed everyone this was truly the Emperor arriving. To Sienna's surprise, Lord Vader bowed as figures began to descend from the shuttle. None of the other officers were required to bow. What could that mean? But the question was wiped from her mind as Emperor Palpatine came into view. Palpatine's face appeared on countless holos every single day. Like anyone else in the Empire, she could have described him as well as she could members of her own family. Hair almost entirely gray, but still thick. Face betraying only the slightest lines of care and time. His posture straight. His eyes sharp. In other words, the face shown to the world had nothing to do with the reality. Sienna's eyes widened as she took in the face his heavy hood did not entirely conceal. The unnatural paleness of his skin. The inhuman folds and wrinkles. He walked through the bay with his back hunched, and without so much as a word or glance toward the hundreds of loyal officers assembled to greet him. "Don't be petty." "So he's grown older. That's only natural. And surely the Emperor has other things on his mind than some silly ceremony." The rationalizations didn't work. What shook Sienna wasn't merely the Emperor's appearance. It was the sense of almost depthless malice that radiated from him, so strongly she could have reeled. Even from a distance, Palpatine awakened in her a physical dread, primitive instincts telling her to escape or fight. Only one other person had ever made her feel that way. Darth Vader. Sienna had always told herself that Vader was an apparition, unique in the Empire. So far as it went, that was true. But the most terrifying thing about him, the constant sense of malevolence and danger he inspired, that was shared by the most powerful person in the galaxy. "Is this who I've been serving all along?" This is a bad dream. Didn't work. Thane could feel the iron bench beneath him, smell the grease and ozone scent of the repair bay. Every mundane detail made it clear he was wide awake. This is a test. A drill. The Alliance leaders want to find out what we do when confronted with the worst-case scenario. No way. They wouldn't risk pulling together the entire Rebel Armada for a mere drill. But if it wasn't a nightmare, and it wasn't a drill, it was the undeniable, horrible truth. The Empire had built a second Death Star. Thane could think of words from 36 worlds to describe how he felt, each epithet more obscene than the last. But he lacked the breath to speak any of them. He could only stare at the rotating hollow in front of the X-Wing squadrons as they received their briefing from General Nadine. "Exactly how are they going to take care of the shield generator?" Kendi asked. "They'll have dozens of troopers down on the forest moon of Endor, if not hundreds."
"General Solo will take over from Major Lockmarcha, who was killed in action. Solo's team on the moon of Endor will handle the shield generator. Each person involved in this assault has enough to do on their own without worrying about someone else's job, Corona 5," Maydeen said sternly.
Thane whispered to Yendor, "Who the hell is General Solo?"
"You know, Han Solo. Captain of the Millennium Falcon?"
The ship name sounded vaguely familiar, but Thane couldn't quite place it. Yendor's eyes widened with disbelief.
"Come on, he's one of the guys who rescued Princess Leia from the first Death Star. You remember that, right?"
"I wasn't with the Rebellion then. I didn't join until right before Hoth."
"Oh, I guess Captain Solo got captured by a bounty hunter right after Hoth."
Yendor's leku drooped.
"So you wouldn't know him. But hey, he's one of the best."
"Indeed he is," interrupted General Maydeen, who had apparently overheard their entire conversation. Both Thane and Yendor faced forward and sat up straight.
"General Solo will be joined on the Forest Moon Strike Team by Princess Leia Organa and Luke Skywalker. They'll have that shield down."
Luke Skywalker again. Thane managed to keep from rolling his eyes. But Princess Leia he admired. If he could trust anyone, he could trust her. General Maydeen continued.
"Meanwhile, General Calrissian will be leading the starfighters diving into the core of the Death Star. The dispersal of the Imperial fleet gives us this unprecedented chance to strike. Due to the unfinished construction, the station's main reactor remains exposed and vulnerable. A strike team should be able to penetrate the Death Star and fire into that reactor, setting off a chain reaction that will destroy the station before it ever has a chance to become operational."
"And who is this General Calrissian?" Thane decided not to ask that question out loud. If the Rebel Alliance was happy turning over its two most critical missions of all time to a bunch of brand new generals, okay, fine.
"Corona Squadron, your mission is to cover General Calrissian in the Millennium Falcon and the other starfighters in the gold, red, green, and gray squadrons as they penetrate the Death Star." Maydeen continued. "The fewer TIE fighters they have to fight on their way in, the better their chances of a clean hit and a getaway for the entire fleet. This means you'll be dealing with TIE fire from both inside and outside the space station, as well as potential long-range fire from any larger ships the Empire can deploy."
At some point in the near future, Thane figured, he would completely freak out at the thought of going into battle against a Death Star. Right now, he could hardly comprehend the existence of the damn thing. He had believed Sianna naive for arguing that the Empire would never again try to destroy another world. Only now did Thane realize that, on some level, he had believed it too. The thought of another Alderaan was too much to wrap his mind around. No matter how long the odds against them, the Rebellion had to attack. From now on, this was not only the most important battle they had to fight, it was the only battle that would ever matter. After the briefing, he walked through the main hangar, which had become a frenzy of activity. Although many pilots were checking out their ships, others were making a point of hugging friends, shaking hands, saying goodbye, just in case. Thane stopped by the MOA first, where he shook Brill's paw and Methwat's long-fingered hand, and for once, hugged Logara as tightly as she hugged him. But one member of the MOA's crew turned out to be with Corona Squadron.
I've needed a new astromech for a while,
Yendor said as JJH-2 was lowered into position aboard the X-Wing.
You said this guy is the best.
JJH-2 beeped inquisitively, and Thane smiled at the little droid despite himself.
Yeah, I said it, and I meant it. Take care of each other out there, okay?
As Yendor and JJH-2 checked out systems together, Thane climbed into his ship. He'd already given his X-Wing a thorough going over after the Hudala dogfight. He had nothing to do but sit in his cockpit and wait for the order to fly into combat against a Death Star, which sounded a lot like committing suicide. The Rebel Alliance had managed to destroy the first Death Star, but they'd gotten lucky, and they had to know it. A design flaw with an exhaust port? What were the odds? Thane shook his head as he imagined it. As a former Imperial officer, he knew very well how that kind of oversight would be punished. No engineer who had worked on the second Death Star would make a similar mistake. This station would be even stronger than the first. For a moment, he remembered being a brand new graduate of the Royal Academy on Coruscant, flying toward his posting on the Death Star. When he had first seen the station, the sheer scale of it had awed him like nothing before. He still found it difficult to believe that the first Death Star had fallen, or that the second one ever could. The old, cynical voice in his head whispered, "You know, you could cut out of here. All volunteer military, remember?" But Thane didn't listen to that voice much anymore. The other members of Corona Squadron and the crew of the MOA were as close as he had to a family now. Maybe the closest he'd ever had. He might not share his comrades' wishful thinking, but he'd be damned if he'd abandon them on the eve of the most dangerous battle they'd ever faced. And if the Empire won, condemning the galaxy to an eternity of its harsh, corrupt rule, Thane decided he'd rather go down fighting. It had been 2 days since Sienna had first seen the Death Star and the Emperor, and those 2 days had all but destroyed her. Each horrifying realization struck her at a different moment, and no sooner had she thought she could bear one than another would undermine her completely. The Emperor's horrifying presence, the unjust conviction of her mother, Nash and Barriss's unquestioning acceptance of genocide as a military tactic, the many pilots who had died for no reason, their lives wasted by a command that didn't care, and Thane, even now, at risk from the Empire every day of his life. He was right about so many things, she thought dully as she went through the motions of her monthly physical. The medical droid's cold sensors allowed her to excuse her shuddering as a shiver. I wish I could tell him that. Sienna still had not forgiven the rebellion for Jude's death, nor did she believe it offered any hope of effective government. However, while she would never contemplate joining the rebels herself, she now understood how Thane could have done so. This isn't about whether or not we've kept faith with the Empire, Thane had said to her as he held her close in the fortress. It's about whether the Empire has kept faith with us. An oath of loyalty remained binding even when the subject proved unworthy. It simply became more bitter. Just as Sienna slipped back into her uniform, an alert began to echo through the ship.
All pilots to TIE fighters, immediately!
What was that about? Sienna didn't think the rebels could possibly know about the station yet, if the secret had been kept so effectively that even high-ranking officers on the Executor had not known. Probably it was a drill, or some other display of firepower to show off for Palpatine. It made no difference. She wanted to be a part of it. More than anything else, she needed to fly. By now, Sienna's duties rarely required her to pilot anything smaller than a transport shuttle, and those only rarely. But she'd always kept her skills sharp, and she could volunteer for TIE duty at any point. Immediately, she went to the ship's flight commander, who seemed strangely smug.
I see, Commander, he said, his thin smile snaking across his face. Of course you want to be a part of this. Something to tell the grandchildren, hmm?
Yeah, one time I showed off for the loathsome, repellent Emperor who blew up entire planets.
Sienna said only, My next duty shift is 6 hours away, sir. I'm ready to serve now.
Your courage will not go unrecognized, Commander Reeve. Report to Launching Bay 9 immediately. As Sayana strapped on the black armor of a TIE pilot, she told herself it would all be okay soon, because she'd be flying. Flight remained her greatest joy and her only escape. Once she was aloft, soaring through space, she'd be free of all her crushing doubts. If only for those few minutes, she would be herself again. In the melee of preparation, she caught a glimpse of Nash, who gave her a roguish smile. He still believed in her, but the pang of guilt had faded before Sayana had even climbed into her cockpit. Whatever else happened in the future, she intended to keep her distance from anyone she'd known before. Perhaps she could put in for some isolated backwater posting, the kind of job nobody wanted, something easy for her to get, and maybe a place where she could actually do some good. Helmet locked. Engines full power. Sayana waited for her squadron's signal, then flew up and out of the docking bay. Hundreds of other fighters surrounded her, making precision flying necessary. Yet she found it soothing, even the vibration and roar within the cockpit. Takeoff always felt like casting off shackles and breaking free. For a moment, she thought of soaring over the Jellucani Mountains in the old V-171. Thane behind her, the two of them flying as one. Then she shifted to wider sensors and gasped. Sayana had known hundreds of TIE fighters were taking flight. What she had not guessed was that countless other Imperial craft were amassed nearby as well, including several Star Destroyers. It was beyond anything she'd expected, even greater than the attack force sent to Hoth. Then the pieces came together. We're expecting major action, and soon. That means the Rebels are coming. If the Rebels are coming, they know about the Death Star and the Emperor. And if we have this tremendous a force waiting for them, we wanted them to know. That's why Piet ordered me to make sure one of the X-Wings got away. He needed someone to report the Emperor's movements to the Rebellion. We were setting a trap all along. She'd always understood that on some level. Why else let the Rebels go free, if not to fill their heads with false intel? But she thought it no more than a feint to cover the Emperor's location. Yet the trap the Empire had laid must have been larger and more elaborate. She'd been only one tiny part of it. This wasn't any ordinary military action. This was the day the Empire planned to destroy the Rebellion for good. Even as Sayana's hands tightened on the controls, her screen went crazy, spilling out so much data she could hardly take it all in. In the space surrounding the Death Star and Endor's moon, thousands of ships had materialized in an instant. The Rebel Alliance had come, and the Empire was ready for them. Chapter 25.
May the Force be with us!
Admiral Akbar's voice crackled over the comm unit as the Rebel Armada headed toward the Death Star. Now that Thane saw it for himself, he had to believe, but he also saw how incomplete it still was. They weren't going up against a Death Star, just a shell of one. Thinking of it that way helped. Okay, it didn't help that much. At the moment, however, Thane would take what he could get. The shield generator should be down by now, he told himself as he checked his sensors. We'll get the order to proceed any second now. The order didn't come. And he wasn't getting any reading on the shield at all, up or down. Thane frowned as he tapped his controls. This would be a bad time to develop a systems failure. Then General Calrissian's voice cut through sharply.
Break off the attack. The shield is still up.
Thane swore under his breath. What had happened to the Endor team?
Pull up!
Calrissian continued.
All craft, pull up!
As they curved away from the Death Star, Thane prepared to leap back into hyperspace for the humiliating but necessary escape. Then he heard Admiral Akbar's voice again.
Take evasive action!
Kendi spoke next.
Sector 47, they're here!
Thane went cold as he saw what awaited them. It looked like half the Imperial fleet, including dozens of Star Destroyers. The Rebel Alliance had just arrived at its own execution. Sayana thought, at least it'll be quick. Her TIE fighter rushed forward with the rest to engage the Rebel fleet.
The incredible disparity in strength convinced her the Empire could win this battle within minutes. Even as she obeyed orders to target the medical frigate, however, she noticed the Star Destroyers were making no move to join the combat. Why amass this much firepower and hold back? Then she saw the Death Star's laser begin to glow green and had her answer. She tensed, expecting Endor or its moon to explode. Instead, the laser hit one of the larger Rebel cruisers. Instantly, the ship was obliterated. If the station is fully operational, why bother sending us out to fight? Once again, it was only theater, only a show. TIE pilots would die by the dozens, if not hundreds, when not one of them was truly needed here. The Death Star could have eliminated the Rebels on its own. But Palpatine wanted every admiral and general to witness this moment and believe their emperor unstoppable. We die for his glory, she thought bitterly. Which means we die for nothing, again. Flying into battle with no hope of survival turned out to be the secret to kicking ass. Thane's mindset had kept him from losing his cool when they'd realized the shield generator was still operational. And when he'd seen how much of the Imperial Starfleet had been brought together for the express purpose of blasting the Rebel Alliance to atoms. He'd even been able to hold steady when the Death Star destroyed the Liberty. The ship Corona Squadron had called home for months. Thane remembered the friendly Mon Calamari who had welcomed them. Every single one had been killed in an instant. Not that Thane's chances of survival were much better. The way he saw it, the Empire was going to kill him today no matter what he did. His only goal was to make the Imperials pay for it, with blood. Over the speaker, General Calrissian ordered the smaller ships to get in close on the Star Destroyers, presumably because that would keep them safe from the Death Star. Thane could have laughed. Like you were any safer next to a Star Destroyer. Still, he was glad for the chance to see the damage he had caused.
I am going in close on the engines,
the Contessa said over comms.
Who's with me?
Thane braced himself. Corona 4, right behind you!
Corona 5, too! Let's do it!
That was Kendi, who sounded almost cheerful about the chance to wreak some mayhem. Yender didn't even answer out loud, but sensors showed him accelerating so fast he was going to get to the destroyer before Thane did. Or at least he would have, if Thane hadn't taken the engines all the way to maximum and dived straight toward the rear of the ship. The mammoth shielding of a Star Destroyer could take intense levels of weapons fire without damage. The engines, however, you could get at those. They were too deeply encased within the impregnable ship to be destroyed, but even slowing the ship down or denying the crew full power would help in a battle. Let's see how they like being stranded in space for a while. Thane grinned as he swooped around the back, the rest of Corona Squadron just behind him. His old academy training returned. It was as if the schematics hollows from large vessel design glowed in front of him again, showing him the exact spots to hit. Thane zeroed in and fired again and again. At that rate, he'd run his power down too far to jump into hyperspace for a retreat, but that didn't matter any longer. It looked like the entire rebellion would die today. Thane only hoped to go out fighting. He made his hits, but Kendi did even better. She always was the best sharpshooter in the class, he thought as he saw a small jet of sparks flare along the side of one Star Destroyer engine for the instant it took the vacuum of space to snuff it out. A swarm of TIE fighters sliced through their formation so close Thane glimpsed a flash of one through the cockpit. He didn't flinch, just pressed his finger down on the firing button. The Empire doesn't even give those pilots any shields. One hit and they blow. He fired twice and was rewarded with the spray of sparks and the blur of a TIE fighter spinning wildly out of control. What next? Maybe he should dive for the main bridge, just smash his X-Wing through it, and take an Imperial Admiral into death with him.
The shield generator is down! Repeat, the shield generator is down!
Thane had figured the Endor team for dead. Damn, he thought. Those guys pulled it off! He found himself imagining Princess Leia as the lone victor. Probably she'd blown that shield generator away with a grin on her face. General Calrissian said to the fleet,
All fighters, follow me! Let's go!
the Contessa shouted over the comms. Nothing frosty about her now. She was ready for blood.
Corona Squadron, let's head in.
Corona 4, ready. He grinned as they regrouped into formation and headed straight for the enormous space station ahead. It looked and felt as if he was diving into a sea of black metal tiles. Remember, everybody, this thing's so big you'll have to compensate for its gravitational pull. Thing banked sharply along the side of the Death Star, just under the gaping maw targeted by the Millennium Falcon's attack. Beneath him, he saw endless black metal, solid surface still broken by areas of construction. Above, explosions flared and burst like fireworks on feast days back home. Three TIE fighters appeared over the Death Star's horizon, and Thane didn't even bother with evasive action. He accelerated, targeted, and fired, and flew straight through the three fireballs left behind. He didn't have to wonder whether Sienna was any of those ships. She would have been smarter, fired first. She wouldn't have let them get away with going after a Star Destroyer's engines, either. No doubt she was safely on the bridge of one of those destroyers, but Thane halfway wished she'd be the one to finish him off. Then at least they'd be bound together in some way at the end. The Contessa reported,
"We have entry. The Millennium Falcon strike team has entered the Death Star."
It hit Thane then. They might actually win this thing. "Why aren't you covering the engines?" Sienna shouted at the idiot TIE pilots who had let some idiot rebel damage the subjugator. "Get back there! Move!" The rebels were trapped, and they knew it. But obviously they intended to kill as many Imperials as possible before they fell. Already, space was littered with the debris of the enemy Star Cruisers targeted by the Death Star's laser. Sienna felt the same rush of futile anger at the waste of pilots' lives by callous commanders. But now her fury was directed at whatever rebel leader had dragged Thane back into this war. But she was angriest with herself. Thane was only one of the rebels who would die because of a trap she had unwittingly helped set. Both she and Thane had been victims of the Emperor's malignant scheming and the terrible slaughter it had begun. Sienna took her TIE interceptor up over the main bridge area of the Annihilator, just in case some rebel pilot decided to fly directly into it and go out in a blaze of glory. The other TIEs stuck rigidly to established attack patterns, but her rank gave her the freedom and responsibility to judge the battle for herself and go wherever she was needed most. As she cleared the top of the Star Destroyer, she wheeled her ship around, checking sensors to establish which targets would come next, then stopped cold. Their garrison on Endor's moon had failed. The shield generator had come down. Her sensors showed the rebel fleet becoming aware of their change in luck. Flight vectors instantly shifted, and the cloud of starfighters around her turned into darts headed straight for the most vulnerable part of the gaping, unfinished Death Star. The large shaft that led straight to the main reactor. But what did they expect to accomplish? Yes, they could do some damage on their way in, but the maze of beams and cables would surely wreck any invading ships. Even now, Sienna saw TIE fighters closer to the space station, zooming toward the same area to follow behind and finish the rebels off. It was all such a useless, meaningless waste. She turned her attention to the next nearest Star Destroyer, her own Executor. It was only now beginning to engage the rebel ships directly. All the admirals had waited for the Death Star to strike first. Another display of Palpatine's favoring theater over sound tactics. Then she saw a damaged rebel starfighter spinning out of control, straight for the bridge deflector shields of the Executor. Cursing, she tried to get it in her target sights, but the starfighter was too distant and moving too fast. An orange flare marked its impact, and in horror, Sienna realized the extent of the damage. Neither that hit nor the earlier damage to the ship's engines could have crippled a Star Destroyer on its own, but the combination proved fatal. Jaw agape, she watched the Executor lose main power and begin to drift toward the nearest object with major gravitational pull, namely, the Death Star. "Even a Star Destroyer can't wreck the Death Star on its own," she reminded herself. "Stay on target." But the Executor's destruction meant Barissa's death. "Stay on target!"
Sienna's breaths were coming so quick and hard that the inner visor of her black helmet had begun to fog slightly. She attempted to calm herself by focusing on the flight. If she thought of her attacks as piloting challenges, as an escape into the air, she could do this.